Good morning. 6:56 a.m. on Friday, August the 4th, 2020. I think I put my hood back now. Got an almost full moon off in the west. West southwest. Clear blue sky today. It's a little bit of haze straight overhead, but that's probably why the air feels really chilly this morning. There's probably a lot of moisture in it. It was 56 outside my back door this morning. Official temperature only 52, which is about right. The temperature at the airport is usually 2 to 4 degrees lower than it is here. The airport being where the official weather thermometer for the town is. I guess an old George Carlin bit, actually. It's like, why do they take the temperature at the airport? Nobody lives at the airport. Yawn. Get up around 5:20. I woke up at 4 and said, no, too early. I managed to go back to sleep a little bit. Made my goals yesterday. I got my 2K. Not quite. Yeah, actually it was by noon. Just. And then I went and had lunch. And paid my taxes in the afternoon, so my quarterlies for September are off the desk. Life is good. The story's perking a little along. I am yawning this morning. Yawny. I got up around 5:20. I've had some peanut butter toast. I only had one slice, but it was a big piece of bread. I slathered it with peanut butter or something. I had about a third of a cup of coffee. It was an interesting discussion on Black Science Fiction Society, but how pretty much all of the science fiction was doom and gloom and dystopian, and you know, the military is all dark and gritty and depressing, and you know, can't we imagine a brighter future rather than a darker one? And the answer is, well, yes we can. We can at least imagine a different future. Oh, here goes Poodle Guy. And the difficulty goes back to a conversation I had earlier in the year about underrepresented voices. Good morning. I didn't even look up this morning. It's like, why aren't there more women writing? Why do women hide behind initials? Why aren't there more people of color writing? And the usual answer, the usual ignorant answer is that, well, readers don't buy them. Why are there so many dystopians? It's not because writers aren't writing them, it's that publishers aren't publishing them. It's because self-publishing authors fall into the same traps over and over. They follow in trad's footsteps. Instead of asking, what could I do that trad can't? They ask, okay, what does trad do? Because I want to do that. And it goes with marketing, it goes with their stories, it goes with their covers. Covers, I understand. Covers, there's a bit of a problem because vernacular and covers, cover art, layout, that vernacular is pretty rigid. I mean, yeah, periodically, sure. Periodically, it transforms into something different. The fantasy covers of 2012 are radically different from the fantasy covers of 2020. But the vernacular is still the same. Colors are still the same. Layout is largely the same. And for the most part, it's being driven by Trad Pub. So if you want to attract the people who are looking for Trad Pub kinds of stories, then you do the things that Trad Pub. First, you have to write one. Second, you have to put it in a wrapper that looks like. And then you have to do the interior the way, in a professional manner. Now, ideally, you're going to do the professional manner interior anyway. We're all kind of caught up in the same net when it comes to covers. But you don't necessarily have to tell the same stories. And there's somebody on the thread in the BSFS chalked it up to drama and stakes and made the point that dystopia makes for easy drama, easy stakes, life and death. You know, it's like, okay, you don't get any bigger than that unless you're talking about exploding the world, which is goes into science fiction too. So yeah, I thought about that a lot, because the difficulty is people aren't writing them, and it's not that people, that readers aren't buying them, aren't reading them. It's that the same problem that people of color, authors of color, the same problem that LGBTQ people have, the same problem that, in a lot of sense, women still have, regardless of orientation or melanin content. And that's that you don't see them on the shelf because publishers don't put them on the shelf. Publishers don't put them on the shelf because they're not selling stories to readers. The reason that readers buy books by men, books by white men, books by white men that are dystopian. Yes, I know. One of the biggest dystopians was by a white woman. Okay, fine. I'm not talking Hunger Games. Hunger Games is a blip. In terms of representation, Hunger Games is a blip. But the reason the publishers have the statistics to prove that what they're doing matters is because they control the statistics. Oh, look, more people buy books written by men. The reality that they publish primarily books published written by men is... Get ready, say it with me. Long post. It's pretty telling. It's kind of dumb. So, people don't buy them because there was a Belushi skit on Saturday Night Live back in the day. Back in the day when I used to stay up and watch Saturday Night Live. About a pizza restaurant. And I can't remember if it was Pepsi or Coke. Can't remember if the line is no Coke, Pepsi. Oh, no Pepsi, Coke. Can't remember. One or the other. Anyway, the point was, people kept asking for different things. And they only sold one thing. They only sold the pizza and the soft drink and cheese. You couldn't buy anything else there. That was it. You either bought the pizza that they made, and put it around here. You took the soda that they offered or the chips that they had on the rack. I mean, that was it. You didn't get any other choices. Those were the choices that were available. And that's what happens with publishing. You only get the choices that publishers make available. You don't get the choice of you know, between 42 different women. You don't get the choice between 17 different kinds of stories. There aren't that many publishers anymore. So even if they all picked a different kind of story, you wouldn't get them because there's just not that many people. Indie publishers, on the other hand, self-publishers, can do that because what a lot of people lose track of is that publishers don't sell books to readers. Publishers sell books to bookstores. So they have to sell a book to a bookstore buyer. Bookstore buyer has to buy a book based on whether or not they think they can sell it to a reader. Which means it has to be pretty unambiguous. It has to be something that's familiar. It has to be something that's just like whatever sold real well last quarter, but maybe with a different cover and a different author. And set on a different planet. Or a different ship. But the publishers know that, and so the publishers select those books. The publishers select those stories. The publishers select those things that are most like the books that bookstore buyers bought the last go-around. And the difficulty, of course, is that by the time they get through their long-ass process, there's been another catalog. There's been another whole round of sales. There's been another whole season. And maybe two. So, the difficulty here is that before about 2010, the only publishing industry was a trap. Before 1990, there were more than a dozen, maybe as many as 20 different publishers. By 1990, it was down to 10. By 2010, it was down to 5. And yeah, they all have different imprints, and they all have all these other wonderful marketing departments. And they all are controlled by the same 5 boards of directors. They make the same decisions. all this bullshit about, you know, it's like, oh, well, publishers nurture authors. No, they don't. Back in the day when publishers cared about books, they cared about stories, they cared about authors, they cared about what the stories they put out to the world meant. They were book people, and now they're finance people. A hobby horse I have been on more than once on this podcast, so I'll get off it again right away. I've been on so often, the saddle's a little worn at this point, I think. But I think the market is huge. I think the market for something that's other than dystopia is huge. For stories that are other than warfare are huge. Good morning.
Good morning.
I think the market is... It's going to be difficult for trads to reach because they have to sort of rethink their perception of who's reading. They have to rethink the perception of where they're selling books. They sell most of the books in bookstores. You know, it's like, I get it. They sell most of the books in bookstores. And they're not stupid. They know that the market is, for adult, particularly for adult fiction, the market is ebook. The market is, it's unquestionably ebook. Dave asked me about this the other day. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. They know it's ebook. They're trying to get, what they're trying to do is they're trying to pad their balance sheets by acquiring as many intellectual properties as they can, because they can artificially inflate the value of the intellectual properties, and that increases the valuation of the company, so that the value of the stock goes up. You divide the number of shares into the value of the company, and that's how much the stock is worth. So people who own the stock, the more the company's worth, the more the stock has value, the more people want it, and that's how they raise capital. So before they can, before publishers, traditional press, before they can sort of divest of the massive, massive investments they've made in warehousing and printing contracts, in all of the infrastructure that they've had to invest in order to get books into bookstores around the world, they need to have something to replace it in their balance sheet. And my guess, complete speculation, my guess is that they're doing it by acquiring intellectual property. So they'll sign books and keep the copyright and buy a book bub so they don't have to revert, because the books never need to go out of print. And they keep adding to the library of intellectual property. And intellectual property doesn't depreciate. Doesn't need to depreciate. So it's an asset on the books. After purchase, it's an asset on the books, without an offsetting liability. And so owning a lot of books, even if the books don't sell, works for companies. If your book happens to be one that's not selling, and you can't get the rights back, it doesn't do shit for you. But that's where we are. It's an interesting challenge. At any rate, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.